going to talk for a few minutes about ability. And my plan is to go through what are the, answer three questions basically. What are the abilities of God? What are the abilities of Christ? And what are the abilities of Christians? That's the way I'm going to head through this. So if you look up the word ability, and I want to say too, I appreciate Dale doing double duty and Gary doing double duty and closing prayer. So, and glad to see Brother Amos here and his wife Janice. You maybe should be the one up here instead of me. But we're going to talk about ability. And Google says it's a possession of the means or skill to do something. What about the parable of the talents? We know that there were three. The five talent, three talents, and the one talent. And we know the outcome of those. Did the person with the one talent utilize his abilities? And the answer is no. He didn't. Why? Because he knew that his master was a person to be feared. In Acts 11:29, there was a great dearth in the days of Claudius Caesar. Then the disciples, every man according to his ability, determined to send relief unto the brethren which dwelt in Judea. There was a need in Judea, and everybody gave according to their ability. In 1 Peter 4:11, a very familiar verse, that if any man speak, let him speak as the oracles of God. If any man minister, let him do it as the ability which God giveth, that God in all things may be glorified through Jesus Christ, to whom be praise, dominion forever and ever. So I ask the question, how do we minister to others? We've all been exhorted to call those that are sick and shut in. We've all been asked if we have an opportunity to send cards. Sometimes there's a need to provide food. Or even in many cases, there's an opportunity to go and visit that person. The ability of God. Now, if I were to go out and I send out a piece of paper to all of you and say, fill out the abilities that God has, I don't believe that the paperwork could stand at all. It wouldn't be enough. God has so many abilities. And as we could go through and take a list from each one of you, some of them would say some that others would not remember. But our God is an awesome God. Thunder was a good timing. Our God is an awesome God. God is able to create life. In Matthew 3:9, to the Pharisees and Sadducees, when they approached John the Baptist while he was baptizing people, quote, and think not to say within yourselves, we have Abraham to our father, for I say unto you that God is able of these stones to raise up children unto Abraham. We know in Genesis 1:1, in the beginning God created the heavens and the earth. In Genesis 2:7, and the Lord God formed man from the dust of the ground and breathed into his nostrils the breath of life, and man became a living soul. So if God could create man from the dust of the earth, he's very, very capable of creating man from these stones. God can create life. He has created life. In the same sense, God can destroy life. In Matthew 10:28, when Jesus had chosen 12 apostles and was giving them instructions, he said, and fear not them which kill the body, but are not able to kill the soul, but rather fear him which is able to destroy both the body and soul in hell. We are fearful of our fellow man sometimes. There's a lot of that going on in the world today. But what we're saying here is there is an all-powerful being that not only can create life, but can destroy it. And destroy both the body and the soul. The thunder throws me off just for a little bit, but I'm talking about God. Thank you, Lord. In 1 Corinthians 6:13, meats for the belly and the belly for meats, but God shall destroy both it and them. Now the body is not for fornication, but for the Lord, and the Lord for the body. And part of my job at work where I work, we deal with quality issues quite a good bit. And some of you are familiar with what I'm going to say. When we create a work instruction for a particular job in that plant, the wording in that work instruction is supposed to say, this employee shall do this, that, or the other. It doesn't say this employee will or should or could. The regulations want you to say, this employee shall do the following. And I picked up on this word here, and God shall destroy both it and them. There's no questions about what's going to happen. If you say in a regulation or a statute that we will or we should or we could, that kind of leaves it open-ended. But when you say the word shall, that means it's going to happen. So as you read through your Bible and you see the words God shall or Christ shall or whatever the word is before the word shall, you know this is engraved in stone. This is the end result. This is what's going to happen. The body is not for fornication. In verse 15 of 1 Corinthians 6, it tells us why this is written. Know ye not that your bodies are the members of Christ? Shall I then take the members of Christ and make them members of a harlot? God forbid. So many times in the Bible, when you read a scripture and you say, God forbid, or you read, God forbid, at the end of it, you know that strong language against that which you just read. God forbid this to happen, because there will be, or let's say there shall be, consequences. Also, God, abilities, promise of eternal inheritance. In Hebrews 9:15, the context is discussing the blood of Christ. And for this cause, he is the mediator of the New Testament, that by means of death, for the redemption of the transgressions which were under the first testament, they which are called might receive the promise of eternal inheritance. So Christ, as we know, is our mediator. And if we follow the guidelines, the rules, the shalls in the Bible, we have the promise of eternal inheritance. In 1 Peter 3:9, a very familiar passage, the Lord is not slack concerning His promise. Now, that's pretty bold, isn't it? If God says it, He's not going to be slack concerning it. It's going to happen. As some men count slackness, but thank goodness, He is long-suffering. To usward, He's not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. In this world today, with all the riots and all the beatings, and all the things that are taking place, God is still wanting and desiring everyone to come to repentance. Verse 10, 2 Peter 3, but the day of the Lord will come as a thief in the night. Elements will melt with fervent heat. Once again, this is a promise. This is going to happen, and it may not happen in our lifetime. And we're not going to know when He's going to come. I expected thunder, I think. Another thing about the abilities of God, and this is just a handful of those things, He's able to humble men. In Daniel 4:37, Daniel has interpreted Nebuchadnezzar's vision, and the vision came true. Nebuchadnezzar makes a bold statement in verse 37. Now I, Nebuchadnezzar, praise and extol and honor the King of heaven, all whose works are true, and his ways judgment, and those that walk in pride, he's able to abase or humble them. Is God able to humble you and I? We need to keep that in mind. If things don't go as planned in our life, God is able to bring us to our knees if need be and bring us back into an equality term called conformance to his word. Humble a king. If anyone can be prideful, that would be a king, wouldn't it? He has the rule. He has everything he asks for. He makes people do things. But God humbled Nebuchadnezzar. In Exodus 10:3, before the eighth plague, which was the locust, and Moses and Aaron came in unto Pharaoh and said unto him, Thus saith the Lord God of the Hebrews, How long wilt thou refuse to humble thyself before me? Let my people go, that they may serve me. It took two more plagues, didn't it, to humble Pharaoh. And that was the death of his firstborn. So even God can humble the kings of the earth. The ability of God to resurrect man. John 5, 28-29, Christ said, Marvel not at this, for the hour is coming in which all that are in the grave shall hear his voice and shall come forth. And they that have done good unto the resurrection of life, and they have done evil unto the resurrection of damnation. When God makes a guarantee, it's going to happen. Those who died in Christ are going to be received up first. And then those that are alive are going to follow. So it begs us to challenge ourselves to do as Paul did and buffet our bodies daily, bring it in subjection. For we don't know when the thief of the night is going to appear as a thief in the night. We don't know if we're going to walk out of this building and see people meet rising out of their graves into the air. Amen. And you know, some people wonder about what that's going to be like. Some people have asked the question, well, how in the world is a person going to be able to, everybody in the world going to be able to see Christ coming at the same time? Well, I don't have an answer for that. God made the world round. He can flatten it out if he wants to. Just a thought. But we do know it's going to happen. And as the song says, our hearts have got to be right with God. So let's remember the guarantees. 1 Corinthians 6:14, God has both raised up the Lord and will also raise us up by his own power. Jesus was raised from the dead by God. The promise was that he'd be raised on the third day. It was foretold. Once again, promises kept. It shows God's power and authority. So we look at the few of the abilities of God. God can create life. He can destroy life. There's a promise of eternal inheritance to those who follow his will. And he can humble man and he can resurrect man. But let's look at the abilities of Christ, just a few of them. Christ has the ability to heal, Matthew 9:28-29, the story of two blind men. And when he was coming to the house, the blind men came to him, and Jesus saith unto him, Believe ye that I am able to do this? They said unto him, Yea, Lord. Then they touched he their eyes, saying, According to your faith, be it unto you. Luke 8:41-48, story of healing the woman with an issue of blood for 12 years, and the ruler of the synagogue, Jairus' daughter, 12 years old. The woman had faith enough just to touch the hem of his garment. How strong that faith had to be. For faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidences of things not seen. You can't see, I don't believe, faith. But when she touched the hem of his garment, he wanted to know what happened. She didn't hide in the crowd. She made it known to him, it was I touched your garment. And by her faith, as an example to us, how strong is our faith? How strong is our faith that everything is going to work out when it's all said and done? Jesus took Jairus' daughter by the hand, and she arose. She was healed without her faith by the faith of her father. Christ is able to subdue all things. Philippians 3:21, who, Jesus Christ, shall change our vile body, that it may be fashioned like unto this glorious body, according to the working whereby he is able to subdue all things. Subdue means to be subject to. 1 Corinthians 15:28, and when all things shall be subdued unto him, then shall the Son also himself be likened to him that put all things under him, that God may be all in all. Matthew 28:18, Jesus came and spake unto them, talking to the disciples, saying, All power is given unto me in heaven and earth. All things will be subdued to Christ. All things will be subject to Christ. There are no exceptions. Either death or in life. There's going to be one rule, one guideline, one subject matter. That's the fact that Christ is going to have all things subdued unto him. Help his own, Christ, met in Hebrews 2:18, for in that he, Christ himself, hath suffered being tempted, he is able to succor or help them that are tempted. Christ was tempted in all ways. So in that way and in that fashion in which he was tempted, we should be comforted in the ways that we get tempted. And we know that Christ has been through it. He came to this earth. He lived as a man. He had the power to heal. He had the power and authority to teach that which is God's will. Therefore, we have to believe in him. Hebrews 4:15-16, For we have not a high priest which cannot be touched with the feeling of our infirmities, but was in all points tempted like as we, yet without sin. Let us come boldly unto the throne of grace, that we may obtain mercy and find grace to help them in time of need. How do you do that? What about prayer and supplication? Have you really thought about prayer? There are times, and I do myself the opportunity prior to sleeping every night to pray for different things and different people and different groups. I challenge myself not to fall asleep until I have said a closing prayer for the day. Have you ever considered the fact that this avenue of prayer allows us as humans, as lower than the angels, to be able to approach God and talk to him through the Spirit? What if we didn't have that? What if we had to go to some, the rules were changed, and we had to go to some priest somewhere and have them speak on our behalf to God because they're the only ones that got access to that avenue? Pray without ceasing. And there are times when I just go silent in my prayers because I like the fact that that door is open. And then I apologize for not just not wanting to say amen and just close that avenue for that particular opportunity. It's such an awful, awesome thing that we can approach God through an avenue that He has given us, through the Spirit, and they talk to God on our behalf. And I hope the Spirit corrects some of my thinking. But it's open. It's available. Why don't we use it? Some people pray five times a day, in the morning, at night, and before every meal. Y'all, I'm going to have to stop for a minute. My clogged up right ear just opened up. Been waiting on that for 2 weeks. Maybe it's time for me to shut up and sit down. That was good. So you understand what I'm saying about prayer. We got to utilize it. We're commanded to use it. And just remember, you have just opened up a window of opportunity to speak with the Creator Himself. What about Christ and His compassion? Matthew 15:32, the feeding of the 4,000. Then Jesus called His disciples unto Him and said, I have compassion on the multitude, because they continue with Me now 3 days, and have nothing to eat. And I will not send them away fasting, lest they faint in the way. We know the story. 7 loaves, few fishes. Picked up 7 baskets. And this was the second feeding. In Matthew 14:14, got the feeding of 1,000 more, 5,000. Jesus went forth and saw a great multitude, and He was moved with compassion toward them, and He healed the sick, which means He had compassion for those that were sick also. 5 loaves, 2 fishes. Fed 1,000 more, 2 less loaves, 2 fishes, and took up 5 baskets more. If I remember correctly, this is the only parable that's in Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John, which shows the significance of this miracle. Check that out. See if that's not true. Jesus taught about having compassion, Matthew 18:21-35. The parable about forgiveness and the man being forgiven of a great debt, but not forgiving of someone with a lesser debt. We all know the story. Compassion. Another thing about Christ. He's the judge. John 5:22. For the Father judgeth no man, but hath committed all judgment unto His Son. Acts 17:31. Because He's appointed a day in which He will judge the world in righteousness by that man whom He hath ordained, whereof He hath given assurance unto all men, and that He was raised from the dead. Thomas doubted, didn't he? He wasn't going to believe that He was raised from the dead until he put His hand in Christ's side through His hands. There were witnesses to the resurrection of Christ on the third day as prophesied. We didn't. We weren't there. We didn't see it, but we have the recorded witnesses of the situation that happened during that time. Are we like Thomas and we doubt? or are we strong in our faith and we believe what's written in the book? Because out there, if you want to find a religion that satisfies the way that you want to feel good and believe in, it's available. I hate to say that. There is a religion out there and a religious belief that will support whatever it is you want it to support. You know the difference is? The difference is God says it, we follow it. The difference is they take whatever parts or portions of Scripture they want and they make it applicable to themselves and they call it religion. Not what we are like. We read it, we believe it, we do it. Not the fact that we believe it and maybe we'll read it. Matthew 11:27, all things are delivered unto me of my Father, and no man knoweth the Son but the Father, neither knoweth any man the Father save the Son, and he to whomever the Son will reveal him. John 17:2, thou hast given him power over all flesh, that he should give eternal life to as many as thou hast given him. So we said the ability of God was the ability to create life, to destroy life, to promise of eternal inheritance, to humble man, and to resurrect man. Abilities of Christ are to heal, to subdue all things unto him, to help his own, to have compassion, and to judge. Now, what about us as Christians? As this is part three. Speak for the Lord as a Christian. Mark 16:15, and he said unto him, go into all the world, preach the gospel to every creature. 1 Peter 4:11, if any man speak, let him speak how? As the oracles of God. If any man minister, let him do it as of the ability which God giveth. That God giveth in all things may be glorified through Jesus Christ, to whom be praise and dominion forever and ever. Amen. Matthew 28:19, Jesus teaches his disciples, go ye therefore teach all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Ghost. We, as followers of Christ, are to go into all the world and preach the gospel. We live in interesting times. There are real challenges out there to convert people from different various religions. Because I know from what I've heard, some of these religions are feel-good religions. Some of these religious beliefs and the way that they conduct themselves in services are about how many stories a preacher can tell in a certain amount of time. My wife and I attended a small congregation many, many years ago. And this congregation was as devout as they could be. Many of those were family members. Many of those were distant relatives. Then all of a sudden, they started to make some changes. Let me tell you about them. The first thing they did was they got rid of all the pews and ordered some chairs so that they could sit around in circles and the congregation only had two classrooms. Most everybody there was adults anyhow. So this congregation decided they were going to remove the pews and put in regular chairs, which made it very convenient. This congregation decided, get this, that on Wednesday night, one of the gentlemen in the congregation had a long beard, had fairly long gray hair, and performed the service of Santa Claus on Sunday mornings, and could not take the Lord's Supper, so they chose to do the Lord's Supper on Wednesday night. This is a so-called Church of Christ. The next thing that happened is they decided that they were going to, on Halloween, which was on a Wednesday night, decided to wear their Halloween costumes to church on Wednesday night. I didn't dress up. They asked me what I came as, and I said, I come as a Christian. Same year, Thanksgiving rolled along, and they decided that they were going to have Thanksgiving dinner on Sunday. So they took all of these mobile chairs and moved them over to the side, put up a couple of tables, and brought food right into the middle of the congregation. And then the straw that broke the camel's back, they decided to put a Christmas tree up on the right side of the pulpit. That Sunday morning, I had all I could take. I asked to speak to the congregation for four services. And I got up in the pulpit, which at that time I was not doing a lot of public speaking. There was one person who liked to speak, and he told lots and lots of his younger childhood stories. I got up and I said, I cannot do this. I cannot eat in the church building. I cannot celebrate in the church building physical things of this nature. My wife and I are going to withdraw our membership from here, and we're going somewhere else. Because basically, this that you're doing is not right in the sight of God. There is no scripture to support this. And I'm ashamed to say I took it longer than I should. So we are to go about and preach the word. Are we not disciples? Let me tell you one more thing. I was ashamed of those who I were relatives with because they continued on. Ability of a Christian is to admonish, as we talked briefly about. In Romans 15:14, Paul speaking, he said, I myself also persuaded of you, my brethren, that ye also be full of goodness, filled with knowledge, also to admonish one another. Is that not part of the reason why we come together? It's encouraging to me to see Miss June here. I know Miss June is in pain constantly. I know she struggles. And she's admonishing me by her attendance. And several of you have told my wife that you appreciate she coming and making it out. She doesn't feel good. 7 days a week, 24 hours a day, been that way for years. 1 Thessalonians 5:11 and 12, talking about waiting on the coming of the Lord. Wherefore, comfort yourselves together, edify one another, even as also ye do. And we beseech you, brethren, to know them which labor among you and are over you in the Lord and admonish you. There's your examples. 2 Thessalonians 3:14, 15. If any man obey not the word by this epistle, note that man, have no company with him, that he may be ashamed, yet count him not as an enemy, but admonish him as a brother. Sad to say, I've been a part of a couple of these here at this congregation. And sad to say, we got commitments from a couple individuals, and they never changed their ways. But we tried our best to admonish this person or persons. Ability of a Christian is to withstand Satan. We can't do this without help. Ephesians 6:12, put on the whole armor of God, you may be able to stand against the wiles of the devil, for we wrestle not with flesh and blood, but against principalities, against powers, against the rulers of the darkness of this world, against spiritual wickedness in high places. 1 Peter 5:8, be sober, be vigilant. Vigilant, because your adversary, the devil, is a roaring lion, walking about seeking whom he may devour. This scripture tells us who our adversaries are. It also tells us how eager our adversary is to try to trip you and I up. Sometimes Sometimes it helps if we realize our own weaknesses. But I can tell you who does know what our weaknesses are. And they're going to act on them. And they're going to put our weaknesses in front of us as often as possible. Verse 9 continues and admonishes, whom resist steadfast in the faith, knowing that the same afflictions are suffered by your brethren that are in the world. We are not alone in our sufferings. What one of us may have problems with, let's say it's anger. There may be another one of us who has problems with anger. We can lean on each other. My time's about up. The ability of a Christian to bridle the whole body. James 3:2. The context is about controlling the tongue. For in many things we offend all. If any man offend not the word, not in word, the same as a perfect man, and also bridle the whole body. It goes on to talk about bits in the horse's mouth, ships with big ships with rudders, and the tongue in the body. 1 Corinthians 9:27, Paul speaking, but I keep my body and bring it into subjection, lest by any means which I have preached to others, I myself might be rejected or cast away. Does this only apply to preachers? Go into all the world, right? Keep the commandments, the first and greatest commandment. Matthew 22:37, Jesus said unto him, thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thy heart, with all thy soul, and with all thy mind. Matthew 22:38-39, this is the first and great commandment, and the second is likened to it, thou shalt love thy neighbor as thyself. Who is thy neighbor? To him who mercy should be shown. Ecclesiastes 12:13, let us hear the conclusion of the whole matter. Fear God, keep his commandments, for this is the whole duty of man. Matthew 5:44-45, but I say unto you, love your enemies. I didn't write this. Love your enemies. Bless them that curse you. Do good to them that hate you. Pray for them that despitefully use you and persecute you, that ye may be the children of your Father. So we know what the abilities of God is.